Miami.
Wisconsin sports.
Without a filter.
What you talking about, Father Time? What?
Kyle Wallace.
Winning is the only thing that actually does matter.
Ben Brust.
They can't execute the way they want to play offensively.
This is Kyle and Brust.
Did you call us idiots?
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. With Kyle Wallace, here's Ben Brust.
Music. Did you not give me the go until now? Oh, that's another great day to be alive on Thursday to the whole intro. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Alex Stroh running the show. Attempting to, at least. You, the K&B crew! Didn't click. It was okay. We're getting closer. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. This is more... YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. And, of course, the ESPN Wisconsin app. Really? My camera's broken?
That is correct, yes.
You were damn ugly, you broke it.
Hey, got me. Nailed it.
Good job, Kyle.
Sure did.
Nailed it.
Good job, Kyle.
You got anything else to add to the show before we get rolling?
Boy, I am so happy to finally feel good again. Like, I don't think y'all understand. I was struggling. I was doing this for you, KB crew.
He was sick, and he's trying to act like he's a hero.
No. I don't throw hero around. I sent you guys an article, a real hero.
Okay, that's a good place to start real quick before we jump and dive really deep into the show. Here's how I know that Stroh lives rent-free in Kyle's head. That's how I take it, at least, is we spent the majority, if not, like, the whole last 2 hours of the show talking about how Stroh jumped into action on Friday when he saw a man collapse and helped be there for him, talk him through it. Shush. You're proving my point. Stroh was a hero. And 95% of everyone on the Carbless Talk and Text line on YouTube had said the same thing. And Kyle's like, Stroh's not a hero. Like, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything life-saving. He didn't give a medication. He didn't do mouth-to-mouth. He didn't do CPR. And it's just poo-pooing the fact that Stroh did a great thing in jumping in a time of need when somebody collapsed. Fight or flight, Alex Stroh fights. And that's what he did. Kyle berated Stroh for being like, why are you trying to claim to be a hero? That today we received a text message from Kyle, and it was a post from Philadelphia or something where a crossing guard save somebody's life, and Kyle goes, now that's a real hero. Unprompted, we haven't talked about this in 48 hours, that Stroh, you are so in his head that he is going out of his way to try and poo-poo something you did almost a week ago now. And it's crazy to me. Get over it, Kyle.
I said he did a good deed, but he's not a hero. A stolen utility vehicle crashed went through a intersection and crashed onto a playground, and a nearby crossing guard jumped into action and helped rescue a child from one of the vehicles. That is a hero.
Heroes come in all shapes and sizes and situations. Like, it's not just one. That's a heroic action. What Stroh did was a heroic action. Like, I don't know why you're trying to poo-poo him.
What Stroh did was great. This is a hero. He was bobbing and weaving through traffic and went through and saved the young kid from a car. That's a hero.
Stroh saved somebody after finding out that 4 weeks before he collapsed, he had a heart attack.
No, Stroh sat with somebody and did the right thing. He is a great Samaritan.
He didn't sit with somebody. Again, I've never come to Alex Stroh's defense.
Nothing Alex Stroh did saved a man's life.
You don't know that.
There was another person there
as
well.
Yeah, you don't know that. And she wasn't into his shenanigans. She was probably like, get up.
The man went upstairs. He didn't even go to the hospital.
She might have left him and he might have just been, like, convinced himself that, like, I don't know, this may be it, and then take himself down a spot, and his body reacts. Stroh calmed him down.
So what if the man wanted to die?
I wasn't going to let him.
What, you going to tell somebody what they can do? That's crazy. I can't believe, I'm disappointed in Homer. If the man said, let me die, let him die.
He didn't say that. He said, I think I'm dying.
Oh, okay. Well,
and I said, no, you're not, sir. You're going
to
be all right.
Did he thank you?
I don't know. I wasn't there to be thanked, Kyle.
Kyle is a hero for RSVPing to Ben's wedding the same day he got the invite.
Sure am, because I care and I love Ben. How about that?
Shut your mouth, little bro.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
I like a good Kyle Strofe beef.
There's no beef. I can't beef with somebody like that.
I can't beef with somebody that's so far below me.
That's bad for my resume.
True, Strofe, true. He's so far below you.
He is.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I won't stoop to his level.
Is an interesting cat. Ever since last year, and we all knew that he wants to win a second championship, I will reiterate, it was April of 20... Was it last year where he said... Yes, it was April of last year. He said he wanted to win a second championship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things aren't the same. He's got to create new memories. Then the Bucks have the press conference yesterday to introduce Taylor Jenkins. Does anybody know anything that Taylor Jenkins said?
He was very happy that some of the guys were supporting him today.
Yes.
That I did hear that.
Other than that, it felt like Horst and Haslam took over, and the conversation that was around everything, even if it was good and positive, and Taylor Jenkins has a vision for this team, it was just about Giannis. Mm-hmm. Questions were about Giannis. Everything was about Giannis. Kyle absolutely is getting destroyed already on the Carbless Talking text line, rightfully so.
That's why we can't call him the Mafia or the Mob or the Minions, because I can't have a mob it on me.
No, it's actually what you did to the former show, too. You would flip-flop and turn, and I could turn anyone against you.
The Nation was good to me.
I don't know about all that. But Giannis Antetokounmpo, just... There's been so much stuff since this press conference that has nothing to do with the press conference. I've seen Giannis shooting in the gym.
Yeah, he was in a gym.
He was in a gym.
On social media.
Location unknown. Some could read between the lines and maybe figure out where the location is. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But this was interesting from the Journal Sentinel. The language here I want you to pay attention to. This is Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's been with the Milwaukee Bucks for
13 seasons?
13 seasons? 2013, yeah. 13 seasons. I think he's an incredible person about Jenkins. Obviously, he's an incredible coach, and I was able to be with him in the 2019 season. We made the Eastern Conference Finals as Jenkins was an assistant with the Bucks. After that, he left. He was one of the first coaches that left the coaching staff and went to Memphis. Incredible 6 years. I had the conversation. I don't think Milwaukee... Again, right there. I don't think Milwaukee is just getting a good coach. I think they're getting a good person.
There. Huh.
Yeah, they are. I think they are getting a good person. And that's where it starts with having a good person around that's going to be able to set the tone and set the culture and what Milwaukee Bucks basketball is about. He's a really good coach. And obviously, as the prospect of being coached by Jenkins Antetokounmpo said, we'll see. So there's that. And then now there's a...
This is yesterday?
I saw it come out yesterday, and then there's a video where in which I don't think Giannis knew he was being recorded. I don't know if he did or didn't. This is my interpretation. You let us know your interpretation. You can see this all on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison, but you can also listen here.
Man, stop playing.
They don't want me, man.
They don't want me, man.
Man, stop playing.
Wow, Giannis was riding around the streets of Milwaukee and he said that to somebody. Listen, I think this is just evident and this is obvious. When somebody is...
And by the way, the shooting in the gym post was after the press conference.
Yeah, it was.
Appleton on Sunday, eating ice cream.
The post was made. It seemed like it was timed out perfectly. And the caption that he had on there as well, it just seemed to me that Giannis is making it very clear that there is a separation. And when you hear somebody talking about Milwaukee, especially Giannis, we're not just talking about anybody.
That's what I'm saying.
We're talking about Giannis, who is the ultimate
Milwaukee
team guy.
They are getting. There's no we in that.
There's a clear separation, y'all. It's a clear separation. Usually he's talking about, yeah, I can't wait to work with him. We are getting this. But he's talking in a sense of
we're trying to align on a vision that we can work together and to find success.
No, Giannis is talking about he is Giannis and the Bucks are the Bucks. It used to be Giannis and the Bucks were always aligned, and it is we, or this is a great move for our team. Now Giannis is letting everybody know that we're separating. But the thing is Giannis is reciprocating the energy, and maybe the Bucks are reciprocating the energy that Giannis put to them last year. There is clearly a void, and there's clearly a barrier, and there's clearly a separation between where Giannis is at and where the team is at, and it's been very clear to everybody. And so that's why I've been saying it over and over and over. Giannis ain't coming back, but Giannis is not even saying the things that make you feel like he's coming back.
He's not even giving you a reason to feel like there's a chance.
He said, they don't want me, man. That is a fan, most likely, who probably saw Giannis and said, hey, you coming back? You coming back? Giannis said, they don't want me, man. They don't want me, man. Who do you
play
think
that again,
who y'all think they is?
Well, I think it's clear.
They don't want me, man.
Man, stop playing.
He's like, no, you just broke my heart. Like, give
me. Man,
stop playing.
They don't want me, man. They don't want me. And if anything, if you have been listening to Giannis do these interviews, you've heard anything about him, he has had the exact same feeling that this team does not want him. But I can't fully blame Giannis, because when you have an owner of the team talking about, hey, either Giannis is going to do this or we're going to trade him, which, okay, that's their prerogative. That's the way they can approach it. But honestly, Giannis, it's obvious that Giannis is not feeling the love for the organization. You got rid of Peter Fagan. Peter Fagan is no longer part of this organization. That was
former
somebody,
Bucks president.
The former Bucks president, that's somebody he was with. You think about Mark Lazary being there. He was part of the organization as well. You get rid of, you know, Bud was gone a long time ago, but you look at the players on this roster, it's basically Giannis, Thanasis, and Bobby are the only three people that were on this roster when they won that championship. So everything else is not, it doesn't feel like home for Giannis anymore. Everything is different. Everything has changed. And change is difficult just at all, at any point. But when you're talking about change and losing, oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
It's clear since Jimmy Haslam came that, like, there doesn't feel like there's any strong effort to bring unity. It's been, we're going to do right by the Bucks. We're going to do right by Giannis. There's never been like the, look, I think with as great of a player as he is, we want to do everything in our powers to try and make this a win-win situation so that we can move forward together. Right? Like, that's as easy as it is. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But that sort of commentary has clearly shut Giannis out. Like, they don't want me, man. They don't want me, man. Like, we're talking about Giannis.
So we're talking about,
we're talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo, who brought a championship to Milwaukee for the first time in 50 years. A finals MVP. A regular season MVP. Somebody who's been in Milwaukee for 13 years. His family. Like, we've been through all of it. Where his father is buried. Where his family grew up. Where he became a man. All of it's been right here in Milwaukee. And it's just sort of sad to see the separation that you mentioned turn into what is feeling like a very, very ugly divorce.
It sucks, because this is the heart and soul of our team. And once you lose Giannis, you lose all hope and opportunity for the moment for the Milwaukee Bucks. And I really just think like the Milwaukee Bucks just fumbled this. It's just been a disaster. I'm not saying Giannis hasn't played a role in this, but they have fumbled this.
Look. You can make an argument that the Bucks did just about everything they possibly could for Giannis. What did they not do? They traded for Jrue Holiday to get him a championship when Bledsoe wasn't working.
They went and
got Dame, and although that was very quiet under the radar, and it happened, everyone praised it. It didn't work out. Like, they tried to do stuff.
Why are we giving cookies to people for trying? This is professional sports. You don't get a cookie
because
for freaking trying.
You could argue that some teams like other stars
they
haven't.
They hired Doc Rivers.
That's fine.
That was the beginning
some
of the end
have
of
not
this organization.
Always leveraged all of their assets for one player.
They've been throwing things at a wall, and it has not stuck. It hasn't worked out. So that at the end of the day, Giannis shouldn't care about them doing all this stuff to try. Oh, good job, A for effort. No,
I'm not saying they get A for effort. I just think both sides. It just reached a point where both sides are done.
Both sides are done.
Bucks have leveraged everything for Giannis, and they're in a position now where they feel like they need to do something different. Giannis gave it all, and with the pieces that were given in trades after
then
the championship.
Why not move on from the Bucks? Like, Giannis, let Giannis do what he's going to do. But as the Bucks,
that's
as an organization,
happening.
Why not move on from Giannis gracefully? This has not been graceful. The things Jimmy Haslam's come in, he's talking too much. Josh Glessing, who is the new president of the Milwaukee Bucks, he didn't seem like he was too much of a Team Giannis guy. He was very straightforward, treating Giannis just like another guy, which Giannis is now treating the Bucks just like another team. This is just sad. The Bucks should be taking the high road with this. And that is the thing that disappoints me the most, is that Giannis has given the Bucks more than what the Bucks have given Giannis.
Would you consider yourself a high road type of guy, Kyle?
I take the high road. If I didn't take the high road, I would be snapping nonstop. And I would be telling people about themselves nonstop. I just keep it in my mind. I take the high road most of the time. Until you push me to where I don't. Strofe, if I didn't take the high road, I would be eviscerating you nonstop. Ben's the one that gets after you for everything.
Who gets after you more, me or Kyle?
Is that even a question?
I don't know that it's particularly close. I think it's Kyle.
That's what I think, too.
Strofe, are you kidding me?
I pick and choose my moments, and I go hard. But you're the most consistent.
Strofe, excuse me.
Now you're going to sell yourself to Alex Strofe?
When have I ever complained to you about what you should be doing? You just said yesterday, he just told you, you need to be using AI more, doing all this stuff.
I don't know if that's going after him. I was making a joke that all of the ideas are generated by ChatGPT.
Excuse me,
Strofe. Ha, ha, ha. Good
Strofe,
joke, Ben.
Have I, outside of 2 to 5...
Look how desperate he sounds, Strofe. This is funny.
Outside of 2 to 5, Strofe, do I have anything to say about your
Strofe,
work performance?
Like me.
Literally 2 days ago, you said you were going to go to our boss's
house.
That is true.
Did I go to him? Did I go?
Well, I don't know.
What was your meeting today?
You said you had a meeting on Thursday.
What was the reason? The meeting was today. What was the reason for me to say, I don't even remember.
You said I needed more to do.
Kyle's saying he takes the high road when crapping on Strofe is hilarious. Owen in the 2-6-2.
I'm telling you, I take the high road.
Whatever you got to tell yourself to sleep at night. I was shocked. When I asked that question, that you jumped in to be like, oh, yeah, I take the high road.
I can't believe you think I get after you more than this guy gets after you. Really? This guy embarrasses you every week. He doesn't make you forget the fact that, first and foremost,
yeah,
he's not your
friend. Here's the difference between you and Benny.
Expectations.
Correct. But also, Benny came up in an era of this sports radio thing that he's done for a long time. And he was not brought up in a Midwest nice way.
He was brought up in a Boston psycho.
Yes, he was brought up in a way where it's East Coast and all I'm going to do is talk smack. You, however, have been brought up in a Midwest nice way. You're Milwaukee through and through. You're a Wisconsin guy. Midwest nice.
That's true.
The expectations are different for the two of you. Ben Bruss didn't become a real man until he was like 24.
Damn.
He was just a basketball player prior to that. He was in a gym all the time.
Especially when I crap on him, I can't say that he's wrong.
You, however, had been a community advocate. You had been an education. You had been a teacher. You had been a leader. You had expectations of being kind.
And he's Mr. High Road
nurturing.
Guy.
And you're not kind and nurturing. You're rude and disrespectful quite often. Whereas Ben...
Also, if somebody disagrees with you and they're part of our show, it could be somebody calling in and texting
you're
in.
You don't listen anymore.
Threaten them.
No. I don't.
You almost got a fight earlier this week.
Well, because that guy.
High road. Another perfect example of Kyle taking the high road.
That one, I decided because they was being too froggy.
High road. You always take the high road, I thought.
I take the high road most of the time.
You sound like Strofe, where you said something and then we peel back the layers and it's all just a bunch of crap.
I guess maybe in my mind I take the high road because there's so much I don't say.
In your mind, that is
there's
for
so,
sure.
There, if I let everything I thought come out of my mouth, I will be canceled.
Maybe we're all just waiting for that day.
Years ago.
What a great morning it was. Pella was at Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, came to my house, and obviously I've taken advantage of the 0% financing options. And final measurements, I've talked about it. Joe and the team came over this morning, did some measurements, walked me through some recommendations based off the trim and the outside of my house on what color this should be, like the finite details that I'm not thinking of, my wife's not thinking of, but they're experts, so they're bringing it to us and making sure that we're going to have the perfect back door that matches the interior, the exterior. They make it fun. Homeownership can be fun when you have great people to work with. That's what I have, and that's what you can have with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Simply go to PellaWI.com, and when you get the consultation, tell them, you said, hey, Ben's been talking about you guys, Tosh's been talking, guys. Whoever you hear talk about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, get the consultation so they can open up your mind what is possible for your home. Energy efficient, cost savings, you have a budget. They can work within that. You don't need to do the whole house at once. You can do it by pieces. Well, they can go at your pace. They are amazing. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, PellaWI.com. Jason Wilde and Mark Tauscher had spirited debate today on Wilde and Tausch. Plus, a very alarming Twitter post came across Alex Stroh's timeline, and I cannot get it out of my head. It has something to do with drafting and developing, or as some would say, drafting and replacing as of recent. That is next.
You're dealing with Kyle and Brust.
I was in New Orleans telling stories. You in the middle of a quiz.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Alex Stroh running the show. You, the K&B community at 800-990-3776, the Carveless Talk and Text Line. All right, so I've tried out K&B crew and K&B community. Thoughts, Kyle?
I don't like either of them.
All right, I'll keep trying.
I'm
a lot of critics.
Struggling.
Not a lot of ideas from Alex Stroh and Kyle Wallace.
I'm the one who
don't
gave
like
the
mafia.
Idea. Well, the mafia is not. The mafia is misleading. Very misleading. Mob. I can do mob. KB mob.
K&B mob. Doesn't roll off the tongue. I guess I'm a critic too.
This sucks.
YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison. Of course, the ESPN Wisconsin app. The Packers have gone over a decade of not drafting a first-team All-Pro. Oh, now, wow. Have they had first-team All-Pros from players they've drafted? Yes, past 2014. But, like Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, got it.
But specifically, since 2014, Corey Linsley and Devontae Adams.
They haven't drafted anybody that became an All-Pro since 2014?
That is what I'm saying.
First team all pro. Jeez Louise.
So when you hear that, Kyle Wallace, how does it make you feel?
It makes me feel like the drafting for this team hasn't been very good, because the fact that you have gone over a decade without drafting a guy that has rose to has played to a level that can be a first team all pro, that's troublesome. That's very troublesome, because a lot of these championship teams are built around all pros or built around Pro Bowl type guys. And to know that the Green Bay Packers haven't been able to draft that, they've only been able to potentially acquire it through signing somebody, means you're just not getting it right from day one. And that, to me, is concerning, especially for an organization that prides itself on being draft and develop, draft and develop, draft and develop. The fact that you haven't drafted and developed somebody in over a decade to be a first-team All-Pro is shameful. It's bad.
It
shows why we haven't won a ring.
What I'll say to that is it's really impressive that they've not been able to do such things and be as successful as they've had. This group of teams, I would say, in terms of the length of time that it's been for other teams to have an first-team All-Pro from someone who they drafted, this is who the Packers are with at the bottom of the list.
Oh, who's at the bottom?
Washington.
Bad.
2015. Carolina.
Bad.
2017. The Chargers in 2018.
They haven't been great.
And the Bears.
And we know
in
they're
2018.
Bad. Again.
So again, they're in the same area as those teams, yet they've been that much better than all of those teams since the late 2010s.
Well, because they got the most important position in football correct. They had the quarterback. And then on top of that, they also got something that's very important. It's a coach. That's why yesterday when you asked, oh, is Matt LaFleur, is he average? Is he good? Is he great? Is he elite? Bro, he's
good
great.
Good was the overwhelming answer.
Good one.
From
dude is a great coach, because most teams that struggle, as you just went through the list of teams that
KBM
have not been
compadres,
able to.
Yeah,
sure.
Or the K&B compadres.
The compadres, whatever you want to call it. Teams that typically don't draft guys who can become all pros end up being in the bottom. The Packers have not been bottom feeders. The Packers have consistently made the playoffs. Matt LaFleur has only missed the playoffs one time, and that was with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback that he missed the playoffs. So that is why I give him a lot more credit that he's been able to do more with less. But this right now, Goody needs to be focused on, I need to be able to find guys who can become all pros. And that is why most of those guys who become all pros are first round picks. Sometimes they're second round picks, but a lot of those guys are going to be first round picks. And the Packers have not been able to find those guys in the first round to become all pros. Hell, when you talk about Devontae Adams and you also talk about Corey Linsley, neither of those guys are first round picks.
And that's okay. I mean, some of these of every team, all 32 teams are listed. Not every single one of them in most recent, because this is based on the most recent first team All-Pro that they've drafted.
Yeah.
Not every single one of them is a first round pick. Like Puka Nacua was on the list, right? Jerron Bland for Dallas. Like there's guys that were fifth and third and fourth round picks on this list,
which is fine. But you have.
But when you're
far,
when you're even further back than those teams in the recency of drafting a first team All Pro, that's when it starts to be like, well, I know we do a good job at getting guys in this. What has been. There was a bad third round stint for a little bit, but Tucker Kraft being a third round pick has helped
change
make that go away. But you find guys in the fourth and fifth round that have been really, really good players.
Yeah,
for
but
the
they haven't been elite players to the place where they're one of the top players at their position. And that's what you need to be great. You need to be drafting guys that are great. You brought in Xavier McKinney, fantastic. That's great. But you know what would have been even sweeter if you already had somebody in a position in the cornerback room. I know Jair got hurt. That was an all pro type level guy. Like that's what the Packers need to do. When you drafted a guy like Rashawn Gary, when you drafted a guy like Lucas Van Ness, you shouldn't be drafting for a guy just to be okay. You should be drafting for the potential that this guy can be an all-pro type player. And Goody has failed at doing that when it comes to drafting players. And that's why the Green Bay Packers have found themselves being a 7 seed 3 years in a row due to the fact that he has poorly drafted. Like, this falls on Goody.
It is. It does, rather. I would probably say it's 65%. Like, two-thirds of this is on Goody. The rest is on coaching and development.
Yeah, sure. Development is definitely important, but I think Matt LaFleur has done a tremendous job of developing guys.
Sure, but also part of this is the stagnant staff that he's had, like the fat and happy 1265 way of just like Stenovich is still there and you're not impressed by him, right? Like the special teams, like they just continue to suck. Like it's just kind of the organizational thing where it's like Matt would have been very fine running back everything he had.
Yeah, but when these guys leave, it's not like they're becoming all pros. With Quay Walker left, do you think Quay Walker's about to be an all pro out in
No, but
that's Vegas?
My point. Is he getting? Are they being developed in a way? Again, this is a smaller portion of the pie.
No, but when
this
they
is
leave,
a smaller portion
Jordan,
of the pie.
Jordan Morgan's not going to become some dang all pro. We know Lucas Van Ness is not going to become an all pro whatsoever. Devontae Wyatt, though I like him, he's not going to become all pro. Eric Stokes had a good season this year. Guess
ain't
what?
No,
he ain't no, no all.
No,
he ain't
no,
no,
no
all
no.
pro.
Rashawn Gary,
Darnell Savage. Darnell Savage is barely hanging on in the league. Like that, like those are the caliber of guys that we have drafted. Outside of Jair Alexander and Jordan Love, ain't nobody on that list so far. You think that's going to become an all-pro. Now, will Matthew Golden become an all-pro? I don't believe that's in his future, but I think he'll be a very good wide receiver. But that is the caliber of player that we're drafting. We're drafting guys that are good, but they're not great, and they're not elite. And that is a problem.
Good, not great.
So it's not a development issue, because if we guys who leave your team aren't turning out to be elite Pro Bowl or elite players who are winning, who are becoming first team All Pros, then that shows that you're not drafting the right guys. So that can't just be development. If guys leave and they're not turning into something that's great, Josiah DeGuara, come on now.
Two-thirds of this is drafting, but I'm saying there is a third that. Like you put on the coaching staff to develop.
Sure, yeah, they should be able to
because they're the
only,
last on
you
the
can't,
list.
But you can't
2014
when it ain't inside of somebody. You can't bring something out of them that ain't there. That's just what it is. And I think Goody has not drafted guys that have the all pro elite gene that they need to have. That falls on Goody. Has he drafted some really good players? Yes. And I think Tucker Kraft might be the only one. Him and Jordan Love are the only two that I believe can be first team all pros. And that includes I don't think Zach Tom,
he's paid like
think,
a first
think,
team all
I,
pro.
I don't
right
think Zach Tom was ever going to be the best right tackle in the NFC. Will he be a top three? Yeah, but I don't think he'll be the best right tackle in the
it's
NFC.
Tough when Penei Sewell's now.
Yeah, I mean, but no, that's the thing. And he was drafted higher, but that's the thing. Is he good? Yeah, he's really good. But most people wouldn't say he's an elite right tackle, but people say he's a very, very good right tackle. He is. But that still doesn't mean he's all first team all pro. Give me my first team all pro guys, especially after you just told me that you can find guys outside of the first round, but we have not been able to do that.
I think that's the part that I was going to lean on. We all have been through the first round conversation of the struggles of trying to get those impact guys, but we do know that the Packers do find success later in the draft, but maybe it's not to the degree that we believe it is.
We passed on Creed Humphrey. He was all pro type guy. That's drafting. That's
like
him.
I said, two-thirds of this,
Jordan,
maybe more.
Jordan Morgan.
It's probably 75%.
Yeah, there we
GM.
Go. There we go.
I think I was putting a little too much, because Matt can only do so much.
Because you don't
so
like
much
Matt
with
LaFleur.
The
that's the problem.
I'm actually giving more grace to Matt LaFleur.
I know, but you don't like Matt LaFleur, so you made it 33% his fault, when in reality it's probably 15 to 25% his fault. About
I
not being able to develop guys. I know,
stop
but I'm saying initially you
Take
gave
the
him
the
number because you don't
I thought
like
you were the high road guy.
What do you mean? I didn't say you were trash.
You're yelling
just,
at me.
I was just saying you don't like Matt LaFleur, so you want to put blame on Matt LaFleur when in reality.
Colin Brust has changed Kyle.
Has it?
Yes. Strofe? Yes or no? That's what I thought.
Am I too aggressive for you?
Not for me.
Well, I got to deal with you two now by myself. So
what have I done today?
No, not today. Just in general.
Just in general, your presence.
You've had to deal with me for the last 2+ years.
No. I used to be able to look across me and be like,
we're past the honeymoon phase with you. Now all the things that we thought were cute are getting annoying.
Yeah.
I thought you were on my side.
I am. I'm putting myself in Kyle's brain.
So you see how I attack both of you guys together, and then he just attacks you?
No, I was putting myself in Kyle's brain. Because I know how he thinks.
Uh-huh.
He's an ornery fella.
I didn't say that. I just said you two together is a lot.
You know, since you like to whine and complain, and do give somebody a reason to be excited, Kyle. I think you need to do more of that.
Kyle
and Brust.
I have a lot.
You need to be happier. You need to smile. Like, you're not smiling enough.
Yeah.
I'm telling you how to live.
Yeah, you know what does make me smile? The American Family Insurance Championship, which returns to Madison in June. Wisconsin's very own, y'all, Steve Stricker, is hosting the PGA Tour Champions event at TPC Wisconsin. AmFam Champ features the best ball in scramble formats in an exciting two-person team format. And the American Family Insurance Championship is June 5th through the 7th. Make sure you get details and ticket information at amfamchampionship.com. Come see Kyle and Bruss hang out, maybe even Strofe hanging out at the AmFam Championship come June 5th. Come join us. Again, get tickets today and get more information by visiting amfamchampionship.com for the American Family Insurance Championship returning to Madison this June.
One very prominent member of ESPN Wisconsin, someone I trust dearly, said the Packers had a mediocre season last year. That's Mark Tauscher. We're going to hear from him next.
You're experiencing Kyle and Brust.
Yeah, play some defense on him or something.
You're asking the wrong person.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Alex Strofe running the show. I swear I clicked it. I just must have missed it. My bad. I was talking to nobody but myself. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. This is more. You. KNB
Nation.
I'll try it. You, KNB Nation.
Try the Klan one.
Did he say that on air or off?
Would you say that on air or off?
I said it on air.
Ooh, boy.
Boy, you got to let that go, man. Like, this guy, I can't even, just don't address it.
I'm going to send him a video I saw that I was going to play on my other show. I'm going to send it to you, and then I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me how you think.
Yeah, again.
How you feel.
I am banning you from saying the word Klan forever.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang forever.
Sure.
Just stay away. Just stop. Now, threw a big wrench in there, Strofe. 800-990-3776. KNB Nation. We'll try that out for this segment.
KNB Nation.
Wildy and Tausch had a spirited debate about the 2025 Green Bay Packers. And it went a place I did not expect it to go. It went to Tausch saying something. Was that on air or not? All right.
He's yelling and screaming behind there.
I'm setting up Wildy and Tausch. He's like a squirrel brain back there. So I guess I'm going to Harvey in Milwaukee, who's got an idea. Harvey?
Yeah, I'm on. Got a name for you guys. How about the K&B Society?
I kind of love that.
K&B with the side of T?
No, you idiot. The K&B Society.
Oh, the K&B Society.
Oh, the K&B Society. What up? It sounds too intelligent.
What's up, Society? That's a good point. I liked it.
Yeah.
But it's got to fit. Like we said, we're not mafia guys, so we couldn't do mafia.
K&B Society.
We're not a society. That makes us sound way too highbrow. That's not me. I know myself. I may have a master's degree, but it's sports administration.
It's like fake.
No. It's not fake. It's real. But it's not in like some brainy
acting.
You
taught walking.
No, I talk more than that. Don't disrespect me. I talk more than that. I talk personal fitness, okay?
Yeah, you need to take your own advice.
And I talk, who, not me. I've been very, Strofe, let them know. I've been very fit, have I not? In the gym, don't play, Strofe. Oh, we gonna do that, Strofe? Okay,
Let's play Mark Tauscher calling the Packers mediocre last year.
Your results. Results tell you if it's mediocre or if it's not. We've gotten in a, the world of sports has become less about results and more about all the other stuff. The results still need to matter. College football, all the other sports, they still need to matter. And in this case, we're living on a pipe dream of, oh, this is what we were in Denver. Yeah, we were, but that's not the team we ended up being.
Look,
so if you want to, like, if I'm the Packers and I'm writing the story of last season, I'm doing exactly what you're saying. What a team, 9-3-1. We were the best. You know, when they put their highlight video out, that's going to be it. They ain't going to write anything about December and January.
That's old T, Mark Tauscher, Packers Hall of Famer on Wilde and Tausch. Do you agree with Tausch that last year was mediocre? 800-990-3776.
That's incredible that Tausch just called this Green Bay Packers team mediocre. They're far from mediocre. Mediocre means that you were, meh. The Packers team yesterday wasn't mad. The Packers team last year, it dealt with injuries. Now, were the results not what we wanted? Absolutely. Yeah, they weren't what we wanted. But this was a good football team. This was not a mediocre football team. This is a football team that was so damn good last year. Despite the fact that they had all those injuries, they still made the playoffs. But in top of that, the Green Bay Packers are looked at as being a team that is a top seven team to win a freaking Super Bowl. That is not mediocre. Mediocre is being between the 18th, 19th, and 20th ranked team. The Green Bay Packers haven't been that. They're even being
you're kind of making Tausch's argument for him.
How am I making
excuses for the injuries after 9-3-1? So we actually had a conversation about this word, mediocre. And you had said it felt like what? What, Kyle? What does mediocre feel like to you?
Mediocre feels
when you're
like,
stuck in purgatory in the NBA.
The Milwaukee Bucks, when they were 41-41, 42-40, 38, whatever, was mediocre.
One could make the argument, based off of what Tausch said, is they expanded the playoffs. You've been 7-seed, 7-seed, 7-seed. That's stuck in the same place year after year after year.
Yeah, mediocre teams, I'm sorry, the Green Bay Packers maybe. The first year when they were 3-6, they weren't a very good team, and then they played well. In the 2024 season, that was not a mediocre football team. That football team won 11 games. Last year, the performance, they got hurt. Things didn't go the right way they
you're
wanted them to go.
You're just making
No, I'm giving you facts. Excuses aren't facts. Everything has a reason why, and I'm giving you the reason why.
It's a results-based world, and you're spinning it into a way that makes you feel better.
So you're saying when the Packers are 9-3-1 and they were healthy— for the most part, didn't have Tucker Kraft. That was a mediocre team.
But it's the full body of work that matters. They blew
so
a 21-3
lead. Because people get injured, all of a sudden I become mediocre.
Everyone else deals with injuries.
Yeah, no, but
maybe
but
not to the same degree of players, but they do.
Sure, if you said the Packers were a mediocre football team down the stretch when they lost all those games, sure, you can say that. When they had all the injuries and they didn't have all their guys, yeah, I would say the Green Bay Packers, without Micah Parsons, without Jordan Love, without Tucker Kraft, without Zach Tom, without Devontae
Wyatt.
The
season as a whole, they were 9-8 and lost their playoff game after 21-3.
Without all those players, I would say, the Packers are maybe a mediocre football team to an
no,
average
I would
team,
say they were below average because they didn't win a game after
sure,
Michael went down.
That's perfectly
below
fine.
Average.
That's
so
perfectly
take,
fine. But
if you take the 9-3-1 plus the losing 5 in a row and the blown lead to the
you
Bears,
can't ignore,
you put it all together.
You can't ignore the facts. Yeah, when you put it all together, when you're missing your guys, but as an overall team, the Packers were not a mediocre team last year. They were a very good football team last year. Unfortunately, they had devastating blows. Devastating blows. You're talking about your top offensive lineman, your top pass rusher, your second best defensive lineman, your top pass catcher, and your quarterback going down. Your quarterback was playing at an MVP level, so no, that was not a mediocre team. The results at the end of the year sucked, but it was due to injury, not because the team was mediocre.
On the Carbless Talk and Text Line, the Packers were most definitely mediocre. Love played well at times, but mediocre sounds right for this team. Jason, the team was good. Their results were mediocre at best. Brett, the Packers were mediocre last year. The Bears' whole defense was injured, and they found a way. The practice squad players playing all year. That must be a Bears fan because I felt a little Bears too much love in there in that text. But again, the results, it's a results-based business. And they are professionals, and they're paid to perform, and the coaches are paid to do what they have to work with. And ultimately, again, as Homer had said and others have said, what showed for me was when things went south, the whole team went south. And I know they lost very important players, but the performances they put out there when Micah was out unacceptable in Week 17 because you still had a chance to win the NFC North. You got to find a way defensively to not let Derrick Henry run
game,
through you.
That game was abysmal.
Then Week 18 would have mattered, and you could have beat the Minnesota Vikings, and you could have had a playoff that game that was at home. So the results were mediocre because the team last year as a whole, utilizing the whole body of work, it was a mediocre season. Seven seed. Until they do more than what they've done the last 3 years, I'm fine hearing Tausch say that. And that's somebody who's being real as somebody who played for the Packers for as long as he did. And you just have fan brains, so you're going to try and spin it into a way that makes you feel warm and fuzzy when you lay your head down on the pillow.
Again, I didn't believe in the Chicago Bears like that last year, despite them beating the Packers. But at the end of the day, the Packers went on the road against a 2-seed and literally were up. They choked. We choked.
Because mediocre teams choke that.
Yeah, sure, but mediocre teams don't lead a team like that. They don't. Mediocre teams don't put themselves into positions like that. I'm just telling you, they were not a mediocre team last year.
Where's Homer?
They did not live up to expectations, but calling a team mediocre who made the playoffs 3 straight years, a team that was 9-3-1 and then got devastated by injuries, we have to understand that played a significant role. Yes, did the roster become mediocre when their top four players went out? Absolutely. They were below average roster at that point. But to sit there and paint the entire season as if it was entirely a mediocre season is laughable. It's terrible, and it was a bad take by Tausch.
Cut it. Send it to Wildy and Tausch because I think Kyle's, again, just being blind and not actually using reason. He's just trying to find reasons to tell himself why it wasn't mediocre when deep down in his heart he knows that it was mediocre. The results were mediocre.
No, deep down in my heart, I don't feel that way at all. I'm speaking my heart now. I know exactly what it was. I know that because a mediocre team doesn't just already have hope for next season. The Packers haven't done too many moves that were massive moves, but if for some reason, do you believe the Packers can win the Super Bowl next year?
Believe?
Do you believe the Packers can be a team at the end of the year that can win the Super Bowl?
I think a lot has to go right still.
Oh, okay, but a mediocre team can't say that.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
It's year by year.
How does a team not make moves?
We're talking about two separate things. This year versus last year. We're talking about last year right now. Last year was mediocre. Next year is still going to be unwritten.
Well, what makes you think
next year
is
still unwritten?
Okay, Sarah Basilius or whatever the hell her name is.
Natasha Bedingfield.
Oh, I had the other one.
What did you say?
Natasha Bedingfield.
Yeah, and I said
one more time.
Natasha Bedingfield.
Did you say Sasha?
Natasha.
He said Sasha the first time.
No, you can go back. It's Natasha. I can sing the whole song from the beginning. It's in my favorites on my Spotify. Yeah. I know Natasha.
You said Sasha.
No.
But this team is not mediocre.
At the blank page before you, open up the dirty window, let the sun illuminate.
I was thinking the woman from 1,000 miles.
Reaching for something in the distance, so close you can almost taste it. Release your inhibitions, feel the rain on your skin, or feel the rain on your grass. Go and get your weed man right now. They gonna make it look so good. No one else can make your lawn look that good. Weedman.com. Weedman.com. Half off for a quote. Half off for your first treatment. You go to Weedman.com and you can get that lush weed. Green yard. Kid and pet friendly. Golf course quality fertilizer and effective weed control. Yes, I agree. Kyle's takes are mediocre, but Weedman is not. Weedman is going to make you a champion. Weedman for the win, baby. Over-under, Strove's very excited for that. Next.
That's not how that works, Ben. That's not how that works.
Oh, that's not how it works. Did you go to break?
No.
I got to get callers. Sorry, I was so proud of myself for the weed man, Natasha Bedingfield.
What the hell
thing.
Was that?
That's right. I'm about to go to the bathroom.
I was jamming. We need caller... we need caller 20 and caller 25.
20 and 25.
There you go. There you go, Kyle. You're finally paying attention for once.
Well, yeah.
At least somebody is.
You're keeping me
800-990-3776. It is Thursday, and we love this game, and Strofe's very excited. Caller 20, caller 25, caller 20. You're going to get a category and an over-under. You get to say if you believe in us or if you don't. Caller 25, you're stuck on the other side. Someone's walking away a winner no matter what. 800-990-3776. Caller 20 and caller 25. 800-990-ESPN. Now you can go to the bathroom.
You're experiencing Kyle and Brust.
Yeah, play some defense on him or something.
You're asking the wrong person.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Time now for over-under here on Kyle and Brusk. 800-990-3776 is the Carveless Talk and Text line where you probably talk to Strofe if you were caller 20 or 25. You know, let's get right to it, Strofe. Over-under time.
Will the guys hit the over or will they disappoint? It's time for over-under.
Over-under time. I'm Kyle and Brust.
What did we go 10 for 10 for last week?
Packers players drafted?
No, it was something NBA related.
It was something NBA.
Oh, playoff teams? Oh, top seeds, the top 10 seeds in the playoffs.
No,
that records. Wasn't it either.
Top 10 records. That's all
right. Maybe.
Regardless, we're hot right now.
Yeah, you guys have been hot. I think you got 9 of 10 the week prior. You guys have been hot. I'm hoping to slow you down this week, but I actually think you'll do well. I just think time might work against you. That's what I told both the callers today. Caller 20 was our buddy Jason in Chevagas. Jason in Sheboygan was caller 20. He is not a believer. He thinks time will work against you. He's on the under. Caller 25, Darren in Sun Prairie. Darren, a believer. And he said he would have picked the over.
Hey, right now,
everybody got the side they wanted, which is fun. So, we're going a little outside the box this week. The list is still of 10, but I'm going to need a lot of information for every guess.
Oh, my gosh.
There were 10 head coaching changes in the NFL this offseason. 10 teams have a new head coach. I need the team and the first and last name of the 10 new coaches.
Oh,
first gosh. And last?
Now first and last.
Hard.
And the team that they wound up with as a head coach. I have the over-under at 8.5, so you need 9 or 10 to hit the over. I need the team, first and last name, over-under 8.5. Who is going to be our final answer-er today?
Oh, this is hard.
What was the over-under?
8.5.
8.5.
You need 9 or 10.
That's
you've been hot.
Oh,
last week, by the way, was the jersey numbers.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right.
Who's our final answer? Are we ready? Who's got it? Somebody
I'll take
hand.
I'll take
it. All right, Ben, your time starts in 3, 2, 1.
Jeff Hafley, final answer.
Jeff Hafley, Miami, final answer.
There you go, Ben.
Mike
that
LaFleur,
is
Cardinals.
Mike LaFleur, Cardinals, final answer.
That is also correct.
Joe Brady, Buffalo, final answer.
Very good. Okay. That is correct. So you got 3 of them.
I have another one. Robert Saleh. Tennessee final answer.
Correct.
Mike McCarthy, Steelers, final answer.
Mike McCarthy, Steelers, final.
Correct.
Clint Kubiak, Las Vegas, final answer.
Clint Kubiak, good call. Seattle OC to Vegas, final answer.
Baltimore just got the...
Baltimore,
they got the guy...
Menunkin?
No.
No, that was the OC.
No, that makes... Todd Monken is now the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Menunkin.
Yeah.
Browns final.
It's close enough. Todd Monken is what you're looking for. He is the new head coach of the Browns.
All right, so Baltimore got the offense. I can see him because
just say where he came from, and I'll get it.
Oh, he came from Chargers.
You've got four
from
left.
The Chargers.
Three of us.
He was the defensive coordinator from the Chargers. He also coached at
2 minutes.
Right, I take that back. You have 7 correct. You have 3 left. You need 2 of them.
3 left, so we can come back to the Ravens. Let's get another team here.
The Patriots didn't get a new coach.
The Giants, no.
Oh, just the Giants, yes. John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh, good call. Yep.
That
final.
Is correct. Giants. You need one more. You're missing 2.
Find the team. Find the team other than the Ravens.
The Falcons. The Falcons hired Fudge.
I think he said Fudge. We're good.
Scared me.
No, the Falcons.
Is he a retread?
Yes, he is a retread. It's a coach of the Cleveland Browns, a former coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Kevin Stefanski.
Final answer.
Falcons final.
We got it 9. All right, so the 10th.
All right, so you won. Good job. You're missing one, though.
The 10th one is I can see his face. He was a defensive coordinator. I believe he came from Michigan as well. He followed, he's like McDonald out there. And what is his name? I can't, and he's a young guy.
You guys are right.
Yeah, I know.
What's his name?
I can't think of his name.
This one,
not Joe.
I felt good about everyone, but when Ravens guy came up, I was like, it's not an offensive guy because I remember this with Lamar. I was like, they didn't go offense after Harbaugh.
No, he was actually, they fired the offensive coordinator. Or was he? No, he wasn't OC.
Well, it could have been the OC because Mike McDaniel's now the OC of the Chargers.
I don't think he was the OC, though.
I just told you guys were right.
That's what I'm saying.
Why are you changing
We're panicking because we want to go 10 for 10 again, even though we already won.
I can see his face, but I can't think of his damn name. Oh, well, what's his first name, Strofe?
I'll give you initials. Will that help?
Maybe.
Sure.
J-M.
J-M. J-M. I don't know why it's escaping me. Joe, John, Jake, Jack.
You still haven't said it.
Joe, John, Jake, Jack.
First of all, Jasper. Why you guys all got to put Jesse Nelson on there?
Jesse Minter.
There you go.
Crazy.
Jesse Minter is correct.
That's crazy.
Jesse Minter is correct.
But we knew the name. We just couldn't remember it. Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's what you get for not believing Jason in Sheboygan. Darren in Sun Prairie, congratulations on your win here on Over Under.
Cooking, boy. I'm shocked we got all these coaches.
I'm not.
Well,
I went to the coaches photo in my head because I studied that and read the blog that Barstool Big Cat did. So.
Love that. I just want to make a new rule for over-under. You're no longer allowed to complain before the game starts about the over-under.
No, that's the best part about over-under is we're never going to change our complaint.
I could set it at 3.5 and you guys go,
oh my God,
that's way too high.
I actually am very surprised in the fact of how much we know just about who our head coaches
are. It's our job.
I get it, but we're focused on the Packers. The fact that we legitimately know all this is crazy. We
the
know
NFL is king.
It. We know our stuff.
We're ball knowers, Kyle.
That's ball knowers. That's crazy. And the fact that once she did the little Jesse Nelson thing, we're like, oh my God, Jesse Minter. Like, we knew the last name immediately. Yeah. Boy, we're good. You're welcome.
Congrats to our guy, Darren.
In some prairie.
By the way, that only goes down in the record books to 9th spot.
Totally fine. We didn't need too much help, but ball knowers.
Sure.
Why are you trying to take us down?
Because he's on a little bit of a...
Been
right
really cold. I feel like Bannon are you smarter than Ben Brust. I haven't won.
Yeah, it's been
you guys
a bad record.
A long time.
But you had really good questions and we're just really good.
Yeah, the fact that we got the NBA one and the Jersey one in back to back weeks.
Yeah.
And now that
you guys are hot. You guys are hot.
You even threw a twist in there and you said the time was gonna be issue. We had 7 and I heard 2 minutes.
Yeah, you guys cooked today.
Yeah. We're hot in both ways.
I gotta go back to the drawing board for next week.
Before we get to Jason Wilde at 3:15, we will replay some of Jason Wilde now responding to Tausch about last year and his concerns maybe about how this year's team could potentially be mediocre. Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch. The heated debate rolls on from the morning in the afternoon.